Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of Undisclosed in which we discuss the recent ruling on Adnan's bail. Folks, three great sponsors stepped up this week to make sure that we could bring you this episode. Those sponsors are Casper Mattresses, Blue Apron, and Stamps.com. Check out their spots later in the show, and please support our sponsors because they support us. Until then, enjoy the program.
A new ruling was issued in Adnan's case last week. Now, to refresh your memory, we've been waiting on decisions from two different courts, from the Circuit Court and from the Court of Special Appeals. So last week's ruling came from the Circuit Court, from Judge Welch, the same judge who overturned Adnan's conviction, and that's the ruling we're going to talk about today. The other decision we're waiting on, the one from the Court of Special Appeals, is on the appeal that the state filed when the judge granted Adnan a new trial. So today, because of a lot of questions we have from listeners online, on our Facebook page and Twitter, Colin and I are going to break down the judge's ruling and answer your questions.
On December 28th, 2016, Judge Martin Welch denied Adnan release pending the state's appeal of Judge Welch's prior opinion granting Adnan a new trial. So let's break that down. Back in February, of course, Judge Welch held reopened post-conviction proceedings during which evidence was presented on Adnan's two claims. One, that he received ineffective assistance of counsel based upon Christina Gutierrez's failure to contact alibi witness Asia McLean, and two, that he either received ineffective assistance of counsel based upon Gutierrez's failure to use the AT&T disclaimer, stating that incoming calls were not reliable for determining location, or, in the alternative, was the victim of a Brady violation based upon the state's misleading disclosures regarding that evidence.
After that, on June 30th, Judge Welch issued an opinion and order that granted Adnan a new trial. Then on July 21st, the state filed a notice of intent to file an application for leave to appeal and a request to stay the order granting post-conviction relief. Breaking that down further, the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland doesn't have to give the state leave to appeal Judge Welch's order. Today, tomorrow, next week, the Court of Special Appeals could decide any time that it doesn't want to hear the state's appeal, and that would be the end of it. Technically, the state could file what's known as a motion for reconsideration, but the result would almost certainly be the same. Simply put, if you see us reporting the next few months that the Court of Special Appeals has denied the state its leave to appeal, it means that Judge Welch's order granting a new trial becomes final. Maryland's appellate courts will not hear the state's appeal. The state options are then either dropping the case against Adnan, moving forward with a retrial, or offering a plea deal.
Now, the state, of course, doesn't want to have to make that decision now, and that's why it moved for a stay. Now, in legal terms, a stay is a judicial procedure by which a losing party can temporarily prevent an order from taking effect. In other words, by moving for a stay in this case, the state was asking Judge Welch to postpone the remedy, a new trial, that had flowed from his conclusion that Adnan was denied the effective assistance of counsel. And when Judge Welch later granted that motion for a stay on August 11th, that's exactly what he did. He postponed the remedy, but didn't disturb his conclusion that Adnan's conviction was invalid. Then in August, also, the state did eventually file its application for leave to appeal on the cell tower issue, and Justin Brown, Adnan's attorney, also filed a conditional application for leave to cross-appeal on the Asia alibi issue. Now, this was a conditional application because, again, the Court of Special Appeals could decide it wants to deny the state leave to appeal, and again, that would be the end of the appeal, and we would have the state deciding whether to retrial. But in the event the Court of Special Appeals does grant the state leave to appeal on the cell tower issue, then Justin wants that same court to re-examine Judge Welch's conclusion that Asia's testimony likely wouldn't have changed the outcome at trial.
Of course, on October 24th, Justin later filed a motion to have Adnan released on bail, pending the resolution of the state's request to appeal, and Judge Welch's latest opinion, December 28th, denied that motion. So now let's examine that ruling through answering a series of listener questions. The first question comes to us from Cape Cod Goddess, whose handle is at CLE2CapeCod, and she asks, do please delve into the use of and or. And this is something that was mentioned clearly in the judge's ruling. So, Colin, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the governing provision here is Section 7-109B2 of the Maryland Code of Criminal Procedure, and that says when the state files an intention to submit an application for leave to appeal an opinion granting the defendant a new trial, the judge can, one, stay the order, and two, set bail for the petitioner. Now, the state had claimed in its brief that this meant that Judge Welch granting him a motion to stay meant that Judge Welch couldn't also grant a non-bail, but Judge Welch pretty quickly turned aside this argument in his ruling, finding that this statutory section uses the conjunction and as opposed to the conjunction or. If it said or, that would mean that Judge Welch would have to choose between granting a stay or granting bail, but again, the statute says he can stay the order and grant bail, and therefore Judge Welch pretty easily ruled under this section, even after granting the state's motion to stay, he certainly could have also given bail in a typical case to a defendant like Adnan.
A very simple grammar lesson right there. Our next question comes from Undisclosed Wiki, whose handle is @UndisclosedWiki, and they ask, please explain to non-lawyer why remit of circuit court includes vacating conviction, but not setting a date. And I guess they mean a trial date, right?
Yeah, in Judge Welch's order, he says, I never scheduled a trial date, and that goes to the issue of why this isn't your average case. So if we sort of go back in time before Sturriel, before everything about this case that we know, if we're back in 2010, assume that Judge Welch, after hearing the initial post-conviction review hearing, decides, I'm going to grant Adnan a new trial. In that scenario, there's no question whatsoever that Judge Welch would have retained authority over the case, and he could have done things like setting a retrial date and granting bail. But as noted, this isn't your average case because, as you all know, this is a case where Judge Welch held a second post-conviction proceeding after the Court of Special Appeals remanded the case to him so that further evidence on the Asia/alibi issue could be presented based upon alleged misconduct by Prosecutor Kevin Urich. And in that remand order, it stated that after Judge Welch held a second proceeding and issued a new ruling, he was to, quote, retransmit the record to the Court of Special Appeals for further proceedings.
And let me add that, you know, as this case proceeds, every step of the way I confer with Justin Brown, Adnan's attorney, about what generally happens in such circumstances. And his response is almost always the same, but this is not your typical case. So it's even unclear to a lot of the folks who are connected firsthand about exactly how things are going to proceed, just procedurally. So getting back to Judge Welch and this language that the Court of Appeals had put in their remand, he took this to mean that after he issued a new opinion that granted Adnan a new trial, he no longer had authority over the case and he had to send it back up to the Court of Special Appeals. So as such, Judge Welch says that he doesn't have any authority in this case to grant bail. What do you think about that, Colin?
I think, again, this goes to the strange nature of the case because, again, the Court of Special Appeals remanded on the Asia issue. So I think if in this case Judge Welch had granted a new trial based upon that Asia issue, that makes sense because the Court of Special Appeals said after you resolve this Asia alibi issue, please send us back the record. But what's unique about this case, again, is after the Court of Special Appeals sent it back down to Judge Welch, Justin Brown added the new issue of the cell tower claim, and it was that cell tower claim that led to Judge Welch granting a new trial. And so my conclusion would be, look, this is a case where the Court of Special Appeals doesn't have to grant the state leave to appeal on the cell tower issue. That wasn't part of the remand, and in fact, the vast majority of cases in Maryland, the Court of Special Appeals doesn't grant leave to appeal. And so my conclusion is I think Judge Welch could have granted bail. And Judge Welch himself, in the opinion, says, I'm not certain of my decision. There's no real precedent in Maryland. So ultimately, Judge Welch was conservative and decided, I conclude I can't grant bail. But he did then go ahead and say, well, if I'm wrong, let me go ahead and go through the bail factors and see whether in the alternative I would have granted him bail.
Okay, our next question is from Dawn, whose handle is @MidwestDawn09. And Dawn asks, Maryland has denied Adnan bail. His conviction was overturned. How is it possible he continues to sit in prison? So there are 9 factors that a judge has to consider in deciding whether to release a defendant on bail. And Judge Welch assessed each of them in his ruling, and this is what he basically had to say. The first factor is, number one, the nature and circumstances of the offense charged, the nature of the evidence against the defendant, and the potential sentence upon conviction. So the first and third of these factors are easy, right? Murder is the most serious offense, and Adnan would face a sentence of life plus 30 years if he was prosecuted and convicted again. So Judge Welch believes that this creates a great risk of flight. In terms of the nature of the evidence against Adnan, Judge Welch concluded that there is still compelling evidence against petitioner, the petitioner being Adnan. But, however, the judge followed that sentence with a footnote indicating that what Judge Welch had previously found was that the crux of the state's case against Adnan, the Lincoln Park Pings, that those were the basis of the circuit court grant of post-conviction relief, and they likely would be offered and attacked differently at a new trial. I was a little bit confused about, actually, how he decided this factor because, you know, the potential sentence upon conviction, one of the things that we argued that Adnan was sentenced as a juvenile, and we know right now that juvenile offenders who have been sentenced to life in Maryland are actually, their cases are being looked at again because under new sentencing, a new rule from the Supreme Court, you know, juvenile offenders are not supposed to get life sentences. Adnan would fall into that, and we fully expect that if he was resentenced under this new standard, he wouldn't be facing life anymore. He'd be facing a much shorter sentence, maybe 25 to 30 years. And he's already almost served 18 of those. I don't know why that wasn't, I don't even think it was mentioned in the ruling at all. And I don't know why. What do you think of that?
We've commented this before that Maryland has said it's going to look at these juvenile sentences, but a lot of people have wondered whether in fact it's really going to change anything or if it's going to remain the status quo. So you're right, Judge Welch certainly doesn't address this head on, and I wonder whether it's him being skeptical that in fact what Maryland claims will be a very much a sea change in the way that juveniles are sentenced, whether in fact in reality that's going to show any differences.
Yeah, that could be it. I do know, and I know this from Adnan directly, that him and others, they have been assigned like a caseworker or somebody where they are supposed to be looking at their sentences again. But that doesn't necessarily mean that anything's going to actually change.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something where if either the state is denied leave to appeal or the opinion granting him a new trial is finalized, I think that the new judge assigned to the case would look at this and would then have some months or maybe even years, depending upon the timeline, where the judge could see the likelihood that this sentence would be less than life, assuming, again, that there was a conviction upon retrial. One great resolution you can make for the new year: maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. I know an easy way to do that, with Stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted going to the post office, driving there, finding parking, waiting in line. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use what you already have, your computer and printer, to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman picks it up. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk, and at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Now, I'm sure that, as is the case with me, your time is extremely valuable, you're juggling several things, and therefore every minute of your day is precious. So give yourself the gift of Stamps.com. Right now, you can sign up for Stamps.com and use my code UNDISCLOSED for this special offer. It's a 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in undisclosed. That's Stamps.com. Enter undisclosed. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. So one of the things that a lot of listeners and readers have asked about is this comment where Judge Welch says there still remains, quote unquote, compelling evidence against the petitioner being Adnan. And the thing that I wanted to note and noted in my blog was it's important to keep in mind that the way that Judge Welch is looking at this case is very different from the way that you as listeners are processing the case. And that's because, again, I've noted this is sort of the time capsule approach where, apart from the cell tower evidence and Asia McClain testifying, Judge Welch is very much looking at a old evidentiary record from this original trial. And so, for instance, Judge Welch is assuming there was a wrestling match on January 13th. Judge Welch is unaware, based upon the evidentiary record, that Jay didn't start his job at the adult video store until the end of January. Judge Welch isn't processing the various statements by people saying that Hay turned Adnan down for a ride at the end of the day because something came up. Becky didn't testify to that at trial. And so what Judge Welch is looking at is very much not all the attacks and the new evidence, et cetera. He's looking at an old evidentiary record. So when he uses the word compelling, one consideration is to say he is not considering a lot of evidence that we as the public now know about this case.
Right. So he's not considering, for example, Jay's new statements that he made in the Intercept interview. And actually, I don't know if this would be part of the evidentiary record or not. It was submitted in briefing for the post-conviction, but the autopsy evidence and stuff, but it wasn't part of the trial evidence, right? So I don't know if he's referring simply to the trial evidence, but that point makes sense.
Yeah, and Judge Welch does briefly note the lividity evidence, but I'm not sure how much heed he gave it because the state really hasn't responded to that yet. It hasn't been subjected to cross-examination. So exactly, there's a lot of things out there that could come up on retrial that would make the evidence less than compelling that, again, is just not part of the thought process for Judge Welch in considering bail. And the other part of that, too, is it's important to keep in mind context when you're looking at terms in a legal sense. And that's to say, when you look at compelling in the bail context, that's very different from compelling at a criminal or even a civil trial, because with bail, usually bail is before trial, and it's before the prosecutor's charges have been subjected to a grand jury or a preliminary hearing magistrate. So really all the judge is looking at in terms of the evidence is there probable cause, which is a very low evidentiary burden. So when he says the evidence is compelling, he's talking about it in the context not of guilt or even civil liability. He's talking about that low probable cause standard that applies at bail hearings.
Okay, let's move on to the second factor that Judge Welch had to consider and whether or not to give a non-bail, and that is the defendant's prior record of appearance at court proceedings or flight to avoid prosecution or failure to appear at court proceedings. So this, again, was easy, but in the opposite direction, because Judge Welch found that Adnan had no history of flight or failure to appear. That was quick. The third factor is the defendant's family ties, employment status and history, financial resources, reputation, character and mental condition, length of residence in the community, and length of residence in the state. So this was also a pretty easy win for Adnan. The judge said, the circuit court finds that petitioner has strong family ties and his length of residence in the community and the state is consistent with his tender years at the time of his arrest and conviction.
So next, a fourth factor that would usually apply is any recommendation of an agency that conducts pretrial release investigations. According to Judge Welch, though, there actually was no recommendation. So he noted that, quote, the circuit court sought sua sponte meaning on the court's own action without prompting by the parties. So the circuit court saw a report by pretrial services, but one was not provided. That's sort of odd. I'm not sure why pretrial services didn't provide a report here, but without any recommendation from pretrial services, this was a neutral factor. It didn't favor either side in terms of release versus continued detention. On the other hand, the fifth factor was any recommendation of the state's attorney, and obviously in this case, the state's attorney, as it has done for the past decade and a half, opposed Adnan's release, so this was a factor that favored continued detention.
So quick question, pretrial services, is this like a independent state agency that provides recommendation to the court? Is it part of the court system? I'm not familiar with it.
This would be like the probation or parole officer. So typically, this would be, again, this is not the typical case, but a person is arrested, they're charged with a crime, they would meet with the probation or parole officer, and through talking with that person, they would get a sense of whether they're a flight risk or danger to the community, and then make a recommendation to the court about detention versus release.
The sixth factor is any information presented by the defendant or the defendant's attorney. So Justin presented evidence of Vicky Wash's arguments at the second bail hearing back in 1999. And this is what Judge Welch's opinion says about that. The circuit court finds that petitioner's March 31, 1999 bail hearing was fundamentally flawed by the state's argument, which was xenophobic and a gendered cultural stereotype of Pakistani men. That such an argument was made without any basis in fact and potentially considered by the judicial officer in determining flight risk is so egregious that it negates the circuit court giving that bail decision any weight in this matter, though there may have been other compelling evidence as to risk of flight. So, what is the judge saying here? I mean, I know what he's saying about the previous bail hearing, but it still seems like he's saying that there's a risk of flight.
Yeah, I think he's saying there's an inherent risk of flight when a person is charged with murder and faces a possible, in Maryland, almost a definite life sentence. But this, to me, was the most important part of the decision overall, because if you actually break it down now, Judge Welch, in his order granting a new trial, is saying the actual criminal trial is invalid. There was ineffective assistance of counsel, unreasonable performance by Gutierrez on two grounds, and prejudice on one. So we wipe the slate clean with that. And now he's saying the bail hearing back then was completely invalid. It was based upon xenophobic and gendered cultural stereotypes. So really, what Judge Welch is saying in this opinion is everything that happened in Anand's case, from his criminal trial to the bail hearing, is completely invalid.
It feels very good to hear that, I have to say.
And I mean, Robbie, I mean, I know a big part of the discussion that's taken place in the wake of Serial is, you know, exactly how much of a factor xenophobia and cultural stereotypes played a part. And so, I mean, what's sort of your take when you read this footnote in the case?
I feel completely validated, not just me, but the community and Adnan and everybody who experienced this and have been insisting that this was a huge part of the case from beginning to end, from the investigation to the bail to the outcome, what happened at trial, that this was a factor that played heavily into his conviction. And so there have been times when it's been frustrating to try to convince people of that, but I feel very validated that Judge Welch, I mean, he didn't have to really comment on that. I feel like he went out of his way to do that. And so that was good to read. It's time to check in with one of our most delicious sponsors and one of our most regular sponsors, Blue Apron. And I want to give them and our other sponsors a special thank you for helping make this special episode of Anand's Bail Motion possible. We couldn't have done it without their support. So, if you are anything like me, you are exhausted after the holidays. That is a lot of meals, a lot of meal prep, a lot of cooking and planning to have to get done for those few weeks. Now, thankfully, it's all over, and here's a great way to give yourself not just a break, but also reward yourself, and that's by getting Blue Apron. Because Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Take all the headaches out of planning delicious, hot, home-cooked, healthy meals by getting Blue Apron. Every week, they're going to deliver to your door the exact ingredients you need, fresh, and perfectly measured, along with recipe cards with step-by-step instructions so you can make wonderful meals at home for yourself or for your family for less than $10 a person per meal. It's an incredible value. Now, Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody, and they do this by supporting a sustainable food system, and they set some of the highest standards for ingredients and building a community for home chefs in the entire industry. They've got partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they're reducing food waste. And they've got an amazing variety. They're constantly changing recipes. You never get the same recipe in the same year. Some upcoming meals that they're featuring are pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach, and mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream. Now that should sound like something coming right off of a gourmet restaurant menu. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/undisclosed. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/undisclosed. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So the next factor the judge had to consider was the danger of the defendant to the alleged victim, another person, or the community. And this was, again, a win for Adnan because Judge Welch said the petitioner has met his burden in establishing that he poses no danger to the victim since the victim is deceased and believes the petitioner poses no danger to any other person or the community.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big finding by Judge Welch. You know, a lot of people focused upon the compelling evidence statement that Judge Welch made earlier, but for him to conclude that this is a case where Adnan poses no danger to any other member of the community, for someone charged with basically premeditated murder and related crimes, for the judge to conclude that, that's a pretty strong statement about his review of the record and his assessment of the character of Adnan in the case.
Yeah, I mean, even if you take it a step back from the murder, I mean, like, the state's case is, I mean, this was brought up during the PCR hearing by the state a number of times. The prosecutor talked about domestic violence and interpersonal violence. And basically, the case was that Adnan had some kind of history of violence and abuse against the victim, in this case, Haman Lee. And that led to him, you know, planning her murder. So the fact that the judge is saying that he's not a danger to anybody else, to me, also kind of dismisses the argument that he has any inclination towards domestic violence. Not just murder, but even being a violent person in general.
Right, and this is sort of the converse of our second season case, where, as we've been noting, the state's case almost entirely was built off of bad character evidence against Joy Watkins. And I think this is a signpost that if the state's considering whether to take this case to a retrial, one consideration is that both people who knew Adnan before he went to prison and his sort of stellar record in prison of nonviolence, that would be good character evidence that the defense could present affirmatively on behalf of the defense case. So next, the eighth factor is the danger of the defendant to himself or herself. Basically, this is related to the concern that the defendant will appear at trial. And the question is, do we have a suicidal defendant or someone who's a drug addict? And again, this was an easy win for Adnan. According to Judge Welch, quote, "The circuit court finds there was no evidence indicating whether petitioner Adnan poses a danger to himself." So again, no evidence in the record to show drug, alcohol abuse, suicidal, etc. So no indication he would harm himself if released pending retrial.
And the ninth statutory factor that the judge had to rule on was any other factor bearing on the risk of a willful failure to appear in the safety of the alleged victim, another person, or the community, including all prior convictions and any prior adjudications of delinquency that occurred within 3 years of the date the defendant is charged as an adult. So Judge Welch's analysis of this ninth factor pretty much replicated his analysis of the first factor, and both favored continued detention, because this is what he said. "The circuit court finds a petitioner posed a risk of failing to appear at a new trial based upon the potential of being convicted a second time and the likelihood of a life sentence being reimposed."
Yeah, I think that was kind of duplicative, because if you look at the ninth factor, as you just said, Robbie, it's any other factor. And as you just noted, essentially, he said the same thing he said in the first factor. So really, I don't see this as a separate factor that weighed against release. It was basically just regurgitating what was said in the first factor.
Right. And there were no prior convictions and adjudications of delinquency. And to me, this just means there weren't any other factors to consider.
Yeah. And then in addition to those nine statutory factors, the court cited a 10th factor. And this is from a case called Bigley. It was a Court of Appeals in Maryland case from 1972. And in that case, what the Bigley court found was that after a defendant has been convicted, quote, "the court should proceed with caution and grant bail pending appeal only where the peculiar circumstances of the case render it proper." And so that's essentially the court saying, Judge Welch saying, you know, even if this is a case where on appeal the conviction has been thrown out, as it was here, it's still a case where that appeal could be reversed, and therefore court should be really gun-shy about granting bail. And so based upon that, basically Judge Welch is saying, you know, it's a case where still the state could appeal. It is a case where murder is charged. There's still some evidence in the record. Adnan could face a life sentence. And so even though a majority of the factors favored release, he's still, again, acting with some conservatism, decided, "I'm going to deny bail at this time."
All right, so we're going to move on to another question. And the next question comes from J. Not Right. The handle is at J. Not Right. And the question is, "Can someone please tell me that if the appeal is denied, whether Adnan will be freed?" So if the appeal is denied, there are two changes. First, currently Judge Welch had to consider the possibility of the Maryland appellate courts reversing his opinion, granting a new trial, and the possibility of Adnan being convicted after retrial. Those are two different considerations he has to keep in his mind. But if the state's appeal is denied, that first possibility goes away. And that might be able to tip the scales in favor of release, given that Judge Welch's opinion seems to be a pretty close call. Second, it would be a new judge deciding bail, which might help or hurt Adnan, depending on the judge. So, Colin, can you explain why it would be a new judge deciding bail and not Judge Welch again?
Yeah, well, Judge Welch is retired. I mean, he came out of retirement to hear the reopened PCR because he heard the PCR back in 2010 and decided against it, and then was brought back to hear the new evidence. And then because he's the one who heard the reopened PCR, even though he's retired, again, he was called again out of retirement to decide the bail issue. But assuming that the state is denied leave to appeal, or assuming Judge Welch's order granting a new trial is finalized, Judge Welch wouldn't be the person now handling the retrial. It would be a new judge assigned, and there'd be a new bail judge. So, yeah, an entirely new judge who might have a completely different assessment of the evidence in the case. But the key point being, that Bigley case we decided would be gone. That analysis would be removed from the discussion, because this would be a case where the appeals would be over. We would then have the retrial being slated, and still it would be a murder charge, still the possibility of life, but there'd be no possibility that the appeal could be reversed, because at that point it would be a finalized opinion granting a new trial.
So the Court of Appeals is not going to touch the bail issue. This is only going to happen if a new trial takes place and you have a new trial judge and then he has to decide. But he's also going to decide on the other nine factors over again, right? He's not going to basically absorb what Judge Welch has said. He's going to make his own independent determination, or she.
Right. Yeah, and there's definitely more things that could change between then and now in terms of the evidentiary record. And certainly if this is a case where leave to appeal is denied, I think Justin Brown would, again, push the lividity issue, and I think there'd be a pretty strong case. I think bail would be high. I think there might be something along the lines of surveillance and home detention. But assuming this is a case where there's no leave to appeal or the new trial is finalized, I think Adnan would have a good shot at getting bail pending a retrial.
Hey, undisclosed listeners, no fluff here. I'm just going to come out and say exactly what I'm thinking about this sponsor. My Casper mattress is the most comfortable mattress that I have ever slept on. It's been 5 months now, and I am getting the best sleep of my life. If you care about your sleep quality, and I think you should, you've got to pick up a mattress by Casper. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine has named Casper one of the best inventions of 2015. The high quality of sleep I'm getting makes me feel very confident attesting to that. Also, with Casper, you get free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Right now, you can try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, Casper is going to pick it up and refund you everything that you paid. So for listeners of Undisclosed, we have a special offer. Right now, get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/undisclosed and using undisclosed promo code. Terms and conditions apply. That's casper.com/undisclosed, promo code undisclosed.
And moving on to the next question comes from Kelly Carvino, and Kelly's handle is @Kelly_Carvino. And she asks, was this expected? A long shot, right, but still disappoints. Next step, thank you and carry on, good fight. The answer is short and sweet, yes. We knew this was a long shot. And I did a Periscope, I think the day that the ruling was made public, explaining basically that we knew it was a long shot when we filed it, and also some of the considerations that we had to take into account before we even decided to apply for the bail motion. So I urge you to go ahead and check out that Periscope. The Undisclosed Facebook and Twitter accounts have both shared them. You can find them there.
Yeah, and I think it was sort of a no-lose proposition, right? Because this bail motion could largely be duplicated, assuming there is a retrial. So it's not that this work will be lost. This would be something that very much could then be used on retrial. And again, the odds there might shift in favor of the defense that time. This next question comes from Ann S., and her Twitter handle is @AnnSilla. She asks, what's next in the process? Court of Special Appeals then? And is the J history now part of record to be introduced at will? The answer is this. It is. Likely in the next few months, we'll hear whether the Court of Special Appeals has granted or denied the state leave to appeal. Once again, if the court denies the state leave to appeal, any possible appeal by the state is over. It's either going to be drop charges, a retrial, or a plea deal. On the other hand, if the Court of Special Appeals grants the state leave to appeal, it's likely going to be another couple of years before Judge Welch's opinion granting a new trial is either affirmed or reversed, because in the event the Court of Special Appeals hears the case, it's almost certain that Maryland's highest court, the Court of Appeals, would want to review what the Court of Special Appeals does. So, yeah, I don't know about you, Rabia, but my prediction is probably at least by the end of March, we'll hear from the Court of Special Appeals one way or the other.
I hope so. I mean, by that time, I think, I mean, we briefing in this was completed, I think, when by September. So if I'm remembering correctly, so hopefully 5-6 months is enough for the Court of Special Appeals to make that decision. So basically, if the court says that the state does not get their leave to appeal, the state can't then appeal that to the higher appellate court, right? The Court of Appeals. Like, that's it.
Right.
The buck stops there for them. All right. Okay.
That's the end of it.
All right. Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And in terms of the second part of the question about Jay's history, that's something that would be sorted out, assuming there's a retrial at an evidentiary hearing. There's what's known as a motion in limine. And presumably the defense would fight hard to get it in. The prosecution would fight hard to keep it out. Maryland is pretty liberal in allowing evidence to come in to attack an accomplice slash point to a possible alternate suspect. So I think there's a good shot, if there were a retrial, that Jay's history, as well as his statements to The Intercept, all the changes to his story, could be part of the evidentiary record.
All right. So the next question comes from Andrew Dighton, and Andrew's Twitter handle is at Zukov43. And he asks, why are the state dragging freeing Adnan out? It makes sense to free him and reopen the investigation. Well, look, the state, and really no state, does not want to admit that this was a bad conviction. No DA's office, no prosecutor wants to ever concede to that, not that easily. And this is a really high-profile case. There's already bad press about Baltimore police and the prosecutors. So in terms of why they oppose release, it's really about leverage. Right now, it's about maintaining status quo for them. And every day that Adnan is behind bars, him and the defense are really behind the eight ball.
Yeah, in terms of the bail decision, in terms of how consequential it is, it just depends. Because as we said, as Robbie mentioned before, the day that this episode premieres, it could be the Court of Special Appeals saying, we're not going to grant leave to appeal, and there'll be a new bail hearing. Or it could be the case where the Court of Special Appeals grants leave to appeal, and this bail decision means even if everything goes Adnan's way down the road, it could be a few years before he's able to leave prison. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, certainly, as Robbie notes, it's a case where the state has every incentive to fight this and not give in and admit that this is a bad conviction. This next question comes from Kelly E, and her Twitter handle is at Ms. Spongy Monkey, and she asks, is there any time limit to how long Adnan can be held without bail prior to retrial? And the answer to this question is no. So if we're looking at the rules of criminal law, a defendant can be detained until he's incarcerated up to the maximum punishment for the crime charged. If you take a minor crime in terms of punishment, let's say simple battery, let's say the maximum punishment for simple battery, pushing or punching someone, is 1 year incarceration. If a defendant is charged with that crime and is detained pending trial and has his case delayed for whatever reason, his detention, of course, couldn't last more than a year because that's, at that point, the maximum sentence he could serve. But because the charges against Adnan allow for life imprisonment, there's no limit on pretrial detention, which means, assuming Judge Welch's order is upheld and there's a retrial and there's delays for whatever reason, there's no point at which Justin Brown would be able to say this detention is too long, he has to be released. There's no limit on pretrial detention in a life imprisonment case.
All right, so the next question comes from somebody who asked one before, Jay Not Right, and they are clearly very agitated in caps. This is absolute BS. Do they at least have to grant him a speedy trial date? So under Maryland law, a trial has to be held within 180 days of the earlier of one of two events. One, the appearance of counsel, or two, the first appearance of the defendant before the circuit court, which is usually the arraignment. But Maryland courts have specifically held that this 180-day deadline doesn't apply to retrials. So the question of whether Adnan's retrial is going to be timely depends upon the Supreme Court's interpretation of the right to a speedy trial under the Sixth Amendment. And this is a fact-sensitive analysis that looks at the behavior of both the prosecution and the defense, as well as the reason for any delays. So for one example, in the case of Ikrin v. State, the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland found a delay of 11 months and 13 days between a mistrial being declared and a new trial being held did not violate the right to a speedy trial. So a question comes from Dan Abrams, whose handle is at Dr. Raz, WSOP. And Dan is basically, we think he's asking that, will the non be transferred to another prison before trial? If a new trial goes forward, it's absolutely possible that he would. In fact, it's likely that he would be transferred to a different prison because he wouldn't be held where he is because that's only for people who are serving their sentences. Having said that, that's actually a concern that Adnan has himself. He, if possible, would want to remain where he is while he's awaiting trial. During the trial, he would obviously have to be somewhere down in the city so he can be in the courtroom every day. But because he has a routine, he has a community, friends, a job, for him to then be moved to another facility as he awaits trial would be hard on him. So even though that is likely, we hope in that event that if he has to wait in prison before the trial that they would not move him.
This next question comes from Christina Blair, and she asks, when, God willing, the Court of Appeals upholds the overturn of his conviction, can he renew his bail application? And the answer, as we said above, is absolutely yes. again, Judge Welch found he couldn't grant bail because this was still in the appeals process. So certainly if that opinion granting a new trial is upheld, Adnan could renew his bail application. And as we said before, the calculus that the court employs would be different. So absolutely, if leave to appeal is denied or this new trial is upheld, Adnan could file for bail again, and the chances of him getting bail would be higher than they were at the time of Judge Welch's opinion.
Okay, so Laura Lee asks online, how are Adnan's spirits? So what has happened since the bail motion ruling came out is I've missed two or three of his calls, and I know that because of my voicemail, it says, you know, you have a call from the correctional facility. He did manage to get in touch with my husband, and so my husband told me that he seems fine, he seems in good spirits, and he even went to the extent where he said that he totally actually understands Judge Welch's ruling, and that if he was the judge in this case, he might have ruled the same way, because he understands the factors that the judge had taken consideration, and overall, he feels like it's a fair ruling. He was very happy that the judge noted specifically that he was not a danger to anyone. And given how he was framed, his character was framed by the prosecution, by Judge Hurd in his trial, I can imagine that that must have felt really good to hear from Judge Welch. So I think he's doing fine. Hopefully next time he calls, I actually get to the phone in time. The decision of the judge to deny Adnan bail came as a big disappointment to a lot of people. And it was certainly a disappointment to us as well. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a really small setback. Like I said before, we kind of expected it. And the big decision that we're waiting for is the one that's going to come from the Court of Special Appeals. That's the one that matters the most. So keep your fingers crossed and your ears peeled. We'll keep you updated with every twist and turn in this case.
And that wraps up a very special episode of Undisclosed, where we were able to return to our roots and discuss Adnan's case. Thanks for joining us. Folks, it's a privilege for us to be able to update you on developments in Adnan's case. We want to take this opportunity to remind you that Adnan's defense fund is still up and running. As we ramp up for whatever's next, we want to encourage you to donate to that fund. All donations go towards Adnan's defense. We don't make a penny from it. Best way to find that fund is just to Google LaunchGood and Adnan Syed. LaunchGood continues to support us, and we want to thank them for doing so. We also want to thank Brooke Giddings of the Actual Innocence Podcast for stepping up at last minute's notice to help us produce this bonus episode. Methil Telhan, as always, pulled this thing together with Herculean effort. Thank you, Methil. That theme music you heard is the haunting tune that was first put together more than a year and a half ago by Patrick Cortez and Ramiro Marquez. Baluki did our logo, Nina Mooser and Christy Williams did our website. Folks, we want you to talk about Undisclosed on social media. Our handle on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram is @UndisclosedPod. Since this episode was about Adnan, feel free to drive the conversation using the hashtag FreeAdnan. I'm sure Mr. John Cryer will discuss some of these developments on the next Undisclosed Addendum, so feel free to tweet him questions using the hashtag UDAddendum. Lastly and leastly, the executive producer of Undisclosed is Dennis Robinson, and he looks forward to seeing you next week for episode 23 of Undisclosed. Until then.